you ever listen to a political interview and think, I'm pretty sure I've heard that phrase somewhere before?
Well, Susie, that is a great question, because at the end of the day, you probably have. Hamish Thompson, who runs the consultancy Heard versus Heard, it's the two spellings, I'll leave that to you, says politicians borrow such phrases from their counterparts overseas. Every year he compiles a vexicon, which is a lexicon of vexing political language. Now, I spoke to him earlier and started with the popularity and constant deployment of... That's a great question.
It's a stalling tactic at best. It's more about completely avoiding the question, in my view, which is kind of a common thread, you know, in all of the ones that I've kind of picked up on this year as being really popular. And maybe that's partly about this kind of global crisis that we're going through. I mean, the fact is that politicians don't have all the answers, so they have to find a way of kind of settling the audience down and just buying themselves a bit of time to get an answer.
In number two is an interesting one, and we do hear this certainly in New Zealand. It's we'll have more to say about this, which is what? An attempt by a politician to hint that they have the answers, but just not yet.
Exactly. So what happens is that they're at these daily coronavirus briefings, and they'll be asked an absolute beauty by one of the political correspondents. And you can see the look of nervousness that slightly goes across their face when they're asked the question. And so they say, they'll give that answer. And then what you can almost hear in the background is the special advisors then going away and kind of Googling an answer pretty quickly so that they can have something positive to say about it the next day.
There's some other ones here that are similar lines. I make no apologies for. And then, of course, there's the classic hard-working families coming in at number six. This is one that's been rolled out for years, isn't it?
It has. I don't get it. I mean, it's a bit cloth-eared, if you ask me, because what I don't get is how a politician can think that, you know, ordinary families or hardworking families or doing it tough or any of those things really go down well with the electorate. Because from my perspective, they're not part of the electorate, and there's a slightly sort of patronising tone to them, in my view.
That's an interesting point here, because what we're talking about in some of these is about sincerity and this idea that the politician is trying to make themselves seem more relatable, more like a average Joe.
Exactly. And I think, you know, the world is full of stories of people who just don't get that bit right. Famously in Britain, you know, there have been all sorts of situations where politicians are, for example, asked, you know, what rock or pop or indie music do they like? And, you know, they look panic-stricken and reach for the only name of a band that they can possibly think of. Generally speaking, it's really inappropriate. And then generally speaking, it turns into a major story for about a week or so afterwards.
This is an interesting one. And there's a few variations of this at number four on the list, which is, let me be clear, let me be crystal clear, let me make this absolutely clear, let me be absolutely open and honest.
And we all know exactly what happens when they say that, don't we? You know, it's a crystal clear sign that they're just about to be very unclear. It's the classic political manoeuvre. Set it up first and then deliver something. And because of the way that you've set it up, you know, you hope that people will be convinced by what you're saying.
A lot of these will be familiar to our listeners here, and certainly are to me, having interviewed a lot of politicians. But why do they seem to sort of crop up in many different countries around the world? And sort of what's the currency of these terms?
I think particularly this year, there's been a lot of Googling going on. So I think a lot of politicians have been comparing notes and looking internationally to see what other people have managed, I guess, not to put too fine a point on it, getting away with. The thing about politics as a trade is that, you know, there are many exceptional politicians, but it's generally speaking, it's a trade that you promise your way into and you disappoint your way out of. And I think what they're always trying to do is to put a cosmetic skin on whatever it is they're saying. There was that beautiful line that New York Governor Mario Cuomo had a few years back, which is that you campaign in poetry and you govern in prose. And I think, you know, this is at the prose end. It's kind of fairly dirty prose. You know, it's the stuff that they just use to get through it.
Obviously, as an interviewer, one always gets complaints about interrupting. And we interrupt because we hear these terms. We hear the fact that they are stalling or that they don't want to answer a question or can't answer a question. Now, to be fair, sometimes politicians can't. So they kind of need these terms, don't they, to get through.
Yeah, I guess they do. I mean, I've thought about this a lot. And I guess, you know, in certain contexts, there's no way a politician can say, I just don't know, because they're there to set an example. And, you know, if they say they don't know, then, you know,
they can say, I'm sorry, I just can't answer that question right now because I don't have all the information. And the listener can take that for what it is.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think, you know, there are examples of politicians around the world who do use that kind of candor to begin with. I also think that it's just part of the rough and tumble of politics, you know, that your opponents are always out to find your soft underbelly. So I guess part of this, and, you know, it sounds like I'm making an argument in defense of all this stuff. I mean, I'm really not, because I think a lot of this jargon is terrible and people can see right through it. But I guess I have a little bit of sympathy for the maneuvers that they're having to go through just to kind of get through things and get on with the job of doing the stuff that's really important.
And that is Hamish Thompson there with a review of some of the catchphrases, if you like, that crop up in interviews from time to time.